Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Larry Richard with our anchorman, Paul Rasmussen, excited to introduce you to our next guest. He holds a PhD in history. He is a tenured associate professor, senior fellow in national security studies, as well as a fellow of integrated studies at Utah Valley University. He is the creator of a hot podcast with our Odyssey family called History That Doesn't Suck. And he's got a book coming out, Been There, Done That, How Today's Crises Are the Same as Yesterday's and Can Be Overcome. You can see our guest, who is Dr. Greg Jackson, on our live stream presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Doc, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
You've made history fun for a lot of people, so give us kind of the thumbnail of how this podcast really has taken off.
I've kind of hit the intersection of rigorous research combined with fun storytelling. That's what I was going for when I created the podcast, and it's really worked out. So I really tell the story of the United States. I start with my very first episode with young George Washington as a 22-year-old kid, learning the hard way how bad a military situation can get. He just gets decimated in his first battle. That starts the French and Indian War, and it leads into the American Revolution. So we see this young kid, George Washington, grow into the general that we're more familiar with as the episodes go on. And from there, I've continued into the 20th century. I'm now just finishing up FDR's New Deal. So 7 years, I've gotten through, you know, almost two centuries.
Dr. Jackson. Oh, I'm sorry. Dr. Jackson, you touched on George Washington and his early military career, all of which unfolded in the Pittsburgh region. It's a fascinating story, and not many people know about George Washington's formative years and before he became president, but they tell us a lot about him, don't they?
They do. You see his tenacity, his drive. You also see his humility. He really insists that as he goes out to what becomes the Battle of Fort Necessity, that he's okay being the lieutenant colonel, but he doesn't want to be the colonel. He says, I need to be mentored. And of course, the colonel, who's a out of shape, overweight gentleman, drops off his horse dead halfway to the battle. So George is stuck leading 400 men without that mentorship that he was looking for. And yet he perseveres. So, you know, you don't meet that. One of the great misnomers I find with people is this idea that George Washington was a great general. He was really a great leader, and he was probably a decent general. He lost more battles than he won, but the thing was his grit, his tenacity. He didn't quit, and people would follow him till the end of the earth. And when you've got that sort of gumption, well, you can even outweigh the great British Empire.
We're with Dr. Greg Jackson, who is the founder and host of the podcast History That Doesn't Suck. I'm curious, when people find out who you are, Doc, from a history standpoint, what do they feel like they want you to tell them about? What's the most interesting thing that you hear from people they want to hear?
The most interesting thing that people want to hear from me, honestly, most people, they don't know what to expect when they come to the podcast, and then they get sucked in by the storytelling. So, I suppose, you know, we talk about the event I'll be doing there in your neck of the woods. I get a number of people who will show up for VIP events. They want to chat afterward, and they do want to talk really more about the present. Not necessarily looking for me to, you know, talk politics directly in a partisan sense, but they want reassurance, I guess you could say, that that today isn't so unique, that the sky is falling isn't in fact true. And that is kind of my standard spiel at this point.
We've been through rough times before as a country, is the bottom line, what you're saying. Or times when everything, and very little in any part of history, did everything line up perfectly.
Correct. It's, I mean, it both amuses and frustrates me, I guess you could say. You know, when I meet people who say, oh, it's never been worse, things are so awful. And, you know, of course, my go-to response, and there's so many other things I point to, though. I mean, there was a civil war. I really don't think that we're doing worse than shooting at each other just yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's so many examples, whether you want to talk about disparity and, you know, income inequality. Okay, the Gilded Age was atrocious in that regard. You want to talk about presidents using executive power. I mean, it doesn't matter which party you're talking about. We can reach into both. Conflict in Congress. You know, Charles Sumner was nearly killed in the actual U.S. Capitol when Congressman Preston Brooks took his cane and bashed him into a bloody heap. I think that was a pretty contentious interaction between two members of Congress. So, the examples just don't end, whatever category you're looking at.
Dr. Jackson, I see that you're going to be in Pittsburgh coming up on Sunday, and I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about what that's like for someone who comes to hear you speak.
Yeah, so I cover about 100 years of U.S. history in 100 minutes. We start with George Washington. Right out by you, we open with the Battle of Fort Necessity. And from there, we follow the idea of the Union itself. That is the main character of the show. And the audience sees, as you know, individual personalities come and go within that 100-year span that we fly through, with brief stops for very close looks at certain figures. But you see that the idea of a union was itself a kind of a crazy notion. It, before and during the Revolution, it barely comes together, and then it barely stays together as we make a constitution, and then all sorts of sections, New England even considers seceding at various points. And so we then get to the Civil War, and of course we get through that, and that's where the show ends in the aftermath. And people walk out with a sense of, you know, realizing, oh, it's never been easy to keep such a great variety of states and people together, but it's also always been worth it. And there are common things that unite us as Americans. So people tend to walk out feeling both a little more aware and more hopeful about the present.
Well, we highly recommend, instead of doom scrolling, listening to this podcast with Dr. Greg Jackson. And again, you will be in town this Sunday. Doors open at 7, 8 o'clock at the Carnegie Library Lecture Hall. And to do your 100 years in 100 minutes, really cool. And I know a lot of people probably have heard of your podcast, but if not, they'll search it through our beautiful free Odyssey app. Right, Doc?
No, that's right.
All right, well, safe travels to the Berg. It's Marathon Sunday. So after everyone runs and they're exhausted, they can just come and relax and learn something too. Safe travels.
Better way to relax. Thank you so much.
You got it. History that doesn't suck with Professor Greg Jackson.
What's not to like, Larry?
Enter the KDK Radio contesting page now for a chance to win two tickets to the Pittsburgh Power and Fitness Festival coming next weekend. That's Sunday, May 11th at the David Lawrence Convention Center. Jim Mannion, in his 50th year, he and his grandson, Tyler Paul, operate, I think it's about 800 shows worldwide a year. And it all started here in Pittsburgh. So if you've seen these powerlifting, and they have all these categories, hundreds of thousands of dollars in prize money. The most successful, I guess, physical specimens on the planet are going to be in Pittsburgh next weekend, and you and I should be among them.
What, like on the sidelines cheering them on? Or?
Yeah. In fact, next Monday, Jim's going to come in, and we're going to talk to him and his grandson. That's quite an accomplishment for 50 years. And
800 events yearly.
Yeah, and this is going to be bigger this year than the Arnold Classic, which they do every year in Columbus, Ohio with Arnold Schwarzenegger, which Jim has been a part of as well. So a couple of things I wanted to share. And I thought this was maybe the most significant thing that happened this past weekend in terms of impact on people. And that was, I have emceed this Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation gala. I've been involved for 30 years. Over that time, many innovations have come for diabetics, and a lot of it funded by the research. Jim Rooney was the honoree this year. He's been a type 1 diabetic since the age of 10.
Well, you had him as a guest talking about this not long ago.
But what he said was so significant. And by the way, they set a record for fundraising, over $1.7 million Saturday for now breakthrough T1D research. And the research that's being done here can change the world. Here's what Jim had to say when I asked him about it Saturday.
We have the basics of a cure. We have the islet cell transplants, which the islet cells are what produce insulin in our bodies. Right here in Pittsburgh, we have some of the top researchers and transplant surgeons working on making sure it's effective and sustainable in our bodies.
And Jim, what do you say to parents that are going through this with their kids right now?
First, I say it's okay for things to be tough. There are always going to be tough times with diabetes, but you need the hopes, you need the smiles, you need to make sure that you're finding the times that are fun, that you get to enjoy that time with the family, that if it's your child, that they're getting as normal experience as they can. I think it's critical that your life...
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Life is lived as much, whatever normal is, as much as normal can be, because we're going to be close and we're going to have a cure. If you're under 10, I think you're going to live most of your life with a cure with diabetes.
That is so exciting. It really is. And the fact that it might be coming out of Pittsburgh to help the world makes it even sweeter.
Yes, Larry. Me and you talk a lot about things in Pittsburgh. There's great fun things with football and beauty of this town and everything else. But the medical research, the miracles that are coming out of Pitt and CMU and the work they're doing together really makes this a special place.
And again, Jim Rooney. And that was significant. They really do believe that there is a cure that's imminent.
And this is for type 1 juvenile diabetes.
Correct.
Right? Yep.
And let me share some more encouraging news from the medical front. In this one about certain cancers, CBS's John LaPook.
When a biopsy revealed cancer in Bruce Nollmeyer's left kidney, he braced himself for the worst.
When you were a kid and you heard the word cancer, it scared the daylights out of you.
But Nollmeyer learned his cancer had an unusual genetic trait that made him eligible for an experimental trial at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. Over 6 months, he had 9 intravenous treatments to harness his immune system.
They did a CT scan, and they came back, and they said they don't see the tumor.
And when you heard that, what did you think?
I couldn't believe it could work that quick, to be honest.
He's part of the study that could fundamentally change the way we treat certain cancers. Here's how it worked. Cancers with a certain mutation are able to put the brakes on our immune system, allowing a tumor to grow. This new treatment is an antibody that releases those brakes so the immune cells can attack the cancer.
Did you ever imagine you'd get this kind of response?
Dr. Andrea Sirsak and her team have completed a study in 103 people with various early-stage solid tumors in sites such as the rectum, colon, esophagus, and urinary tract that contain an unusual genetic mutation.
And of those What percentage did not need any further treatment?
80% of them didn't need any further treatment. So no surgery, no chemo, no radiation, just immunotherapy.
Only 2 to 3% of all early solid tumors have the same mutation targeted in this trial. So the next step for researchers is testing the drug as part of a cocktail of other immunotherapy agents.
The goal really is to try to minimize that toxicity in survivorship, still cure the patients, but without all the toxicity from our treatments.
Dr. John LaPook, CBS News, New York.
And I love how they talk about unlocking the body's defense mechanism so it can go after the cancer.
Right. Apparently, as I understood, certain cancers have an ability to block or mask your body's ability to fight, you know, with your own immune system.
Yeah, but when they say cancer is smart, this is what they're talking about.
So those were two incredible stories of hope for type 1 diabetics and people with certain cancers. So if you're fighting the fight, there is real promise on the horizon. We'll check in with Marty here in the next few minutes. The 100 days of Donald Trump, part two in his second term. And we are joined by CBS's Natalie Brand. Natalie, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
I guess since FDR, this was the measure for a president, but it's unusual in this case because Donald Trump was already president once before. We've already been through a series of 100 days. So how do we break it down?
Well, I think we can break it down by some numbers, namely signing 140 executive orders, which is just a huge expanse of executive power. If you compare the Trump's second administration to the first and what he was able to accomplish in the first 100 days. But, you know, in talking to political analysts, they point out, as you well know, that these are executive actions that could easily be undone by future administrations that disagree with his policy position. So really, what people are waiting to see is what kind of meaningful change can be enacted through legislation, through the president working with Congress. And you know, that remains to be seen, though we know that the administration trying to make progress on, you know, what's been touted as the one big beautiful bill encompassing tax policy, border security, defense spending, and energy policies as well.
As you well know, one of the things President Trump ran on was securing the border. That part, at least from a number standpoint, has been successful in stemming the tide of illegal immigration, apparently. But there are other questions, like sidebar questions. Why did he choose suddenly to change the name of the Gulf of Mexico or a mountain that was, Denali is, you know, why all of these things all at once and creating a lot of anxiety and confusion in the process?
Yeah, and this is, you know, the administration's messaging of America First. As you noted, you know, on border security, they've really come out with firm and strict policy on trying to secure the border, ramp up mass deportations. That was a campaign promise. The administration's border czar announced yesterday that in the first 100 days, there have been around 139,000 deportations. Now, as you also know, some of those cases are working their way through courts. Critics have raised, and attorneys and courts have raised concerns about due process there. We also know that, you know, another key issue, namely, you know, arguably the number one issue that the president ran on was the economy. And if you look at our new CBS News polling, his ratings on approval of Trump's handling of the economy have declined somewhat in recent weeks. If we look at the March numbers, it was at 51%. Now, according to our latest poll, just at 42%. And there's a lot of anxiety specifically over tariff policy. More than 60% of people surveyed surveyed said that they felt like the administration was spending too much time, too much focus on tariffs and not enough on lowering prices, tackling inflation, which the president also promised to do. Today, to mark 100 days, the president will be traveling to a key battleground county within Michigan, of course, a key battleground state, a hub of auto manufacturing. And, you know, tariffs are top of mind there. We learned today, just confirmed this morning, that the administration will be taking steps to ease some of the tariff impacts on the auto industry. We're waiting for details on that. But, you know, it's clear that the administration is trying to react in real time to the concerns that it's hearing, you know, from these powerful sectors as it tries to enact its massive economic strategy, largely around tariffs.
Well, Natalie, as you know, no shortage of stories to cover when it comes to this administration. You need a detail, almost a scorecard to cover all of the, would you say, 148 executive orders?
140 so far, but, you know, this new tariff one, we're expecting another one today. So it seems like they keep coming by the day. Obviously, there's a lot to track, a lot to dig into. And political analysts also believe that's part of the strategy as well, to kind of flood the zone. One professor of political management put it as the political equivalent of shock and awe.
Natalie Brand with CBS. Appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
And coming up, we'll check in with Mark.
News Desk, Patrick Virab, the owner of Eternity Pet Memorial, is accused of swindling more than 6,500 customers by dumping their smaller pets' remains in a landfill and giving them the ashes of larger animals.
Between 2021 and 2024, Mr. Virab neglected his duty of care by deliberately and repeatedly betraying his customers who wanted a dignified service for their beloved dog or cat.
So what is, for each of those 6,500 plus, recourse? That's the question.
How do you give people back their...
There's an element of that you can't.
Yeah.
Can I jump in real quick? When I was in Texas, true story, an employee came to me from a crematory. Same deal, except they were taking dead bodies of people who died.
People?
Cremating them. Whereas he had a big box, would take two scoops, like Raisin Bran, no kidding, and give them to any family randomly. I had employees inside with hidden cameras, and we showed that. I would be deeply concerned about anyone that had anyone managed by this funeral home, right? Forget the money. Yep. What a horrendous way to hurt people.
And he has a funeral home
as well. Just rip their hearts out, Raz.
That's right. Yep. Yeah.
Man. Anyway.
Severe weather in this afternoon's forecast.
Right now, we're looking at all kind of hazards being a potential damaging wind, large hail, and maybe even a tornado.
Wind gusts could hit 60 miles an hour.
And when he mentions tornado, you know that's not an idle, because we idle threat. I mean, we've had those more than our share already this year.
So far, we've reached a gust of 23 miles per hour out of the airport. Penn's coach Mike Sullivan's gone. So now what? Here's GM Kyle Dubas.
We need to become faster. We need to become more talented and skilled. Those are the core overarching themes that we're going to focus on.
Let me throw this by Marty. Marty, I'm going to put our brand manager, PJ Komanchik's hat in the ring to be the new Penn's coach.
Whoa. He knows that cocky crap.
I knew you were going to say that. Thank you, Paul.
That's silly deck hockey. Is that even a sport?
More with
oh, boy.
Marty coming up.